All right. Let's start with a review of a business principle that when I created the Be Better program, I introduced to everybody as the prosperity formula. And the reason I introduced it as the prosperity formula is very simple. It really is. It's the prosperity formula. Because when all three pieces are working in balance, revenues can only grow. You cannot have a scenario where all three pieces are working in balance and you're losing money. Cannot happen. So I think everybody knows this, and I'm not telling you anything new, but I think a revisit of the principle will allow you to sort of assess where you're at and look forward. And it is a new year, and in this year, let's all make something happen that we always wanted to happen. Whatever that is in your life, let's make it happen. And as it relates to your business, prosperity comes from a simple formula. It's the reach plus the funnel plus the spillover equals prosperity. That's it. Really, that's it. And I know that, you know, in the times of my life and career when I really experienced burnout, when I felt overwhelmed, if you ask me how many things I had to do, I'd probably say a million, a zillion, right? Like a never-ending list of things to do. And then I came to realize I have three. The reach, the funnel, the spillover. That's really all I have to do in terms of my business. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't a million or a zillion tasks associated with it if you choose, but it really helps to gain perspective to say, I don't have a million things to do. I have three things to babysit, three things to nourish, three things to nurture. And I would say whatever level you're at, whatever level you're at, if you're generating $100 million this year or if you're generating $100,000 or if you're generating $1,000, this will work for you. The reach plus the funnel plus the spillover. So before we started the recording, Tammy was saying it's time that she's going to get some help, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when people say to me, Phil, you need help, they really mean like I need to go to a shrink. So you're not talking about that kind of help, right? You're talking about getting people to work for you, correct?
Yeah.
So it's taken you, I don't know how many years, to say really to yourself, hey, Tammy, build a spillover. And that's exactly what we're talking about. So there's a lot of resistance, and when the prosperity formula doesn't work is when that resistance prevents you from really adopting it, from really moving into it and implementing it. But if you're at a point that you understand it, the reach simply answers the question, how do you let people know you exist? The funnel answers the question, how do people meet you without taking your time on a one-on-one basis? And we've all been through that process where we did consultations. Even if we're paid for them, even if we charge for the consultation, they can still be draining. They can still take our time. 10 minutes into it, we can sometimes realize this is not going to be a client. And if we're just doing it for the short-term money, then we're limited in our potential to truly achieve prosperity. So the reach, how do you let people know you exist? The funnel, how do they meet you without taking your time? And the spillover. The spillover answers the question, how, after people go through the funnel, can they become clients without, again, having to infringe on your time? So if you can envision a pitcher, a big pitcher, not a picture, a pitcher, filled not with water but with little marbles, and below the pitcher is a funnel. And you start to pour a couple of marbles into the funnel, and they funnel their way through. So that's really the metaphor for what we're talking about, is your reach is the pitcher. And now people are getting interested, and they're coming into your funnel. And your funnel can be a workshop, a class, a seminar, a cooking class. Whatever you decide is going to put you in front of a group where they're going to see you in your best light. And then some of them will come right through the funnel and become clients. Others will not. Others will decide it's too expensive, it's not for them, they don't want to work that hard, something else is better, not right now. So the ones who come through the funnel become your clients. Now, I want you to envision this process continues. More marbles keep coming into the funnel, and some are falling out, but most are going through. And then eventually, you reach a point that you have no more time in your schedule. You're feeling like you've got enough clients. Do you stop your reach in your funnel? No. No, that would be moving toward the death of the business. So you got to keep the funnel and you got to keep the reach. But what do you do with those people? So now let's envision the marbles coming into the funnel, but now the bottom is clogged up because no more can go through. You have no availability. So now they start spilling over the top. That's what the spillover is. How do you take those marbles and turn them into money? How do you take those people who can't get through that funnel and connect them with whatever it is that you offer in a way that generates revenue without them taking your time? And the spillover becomes palpable. It becomes real when you have a staff, or better yet, an apprentice. Someone that you teach whatever you need to teach them to provide the service that you are paid well for. Is it easy? No. Do you sometimes get screwed? Yeah. You train an apprentice and then they wind up wanting to be you. Happens. But in the time that you have that individual, it allows you to build your business and build a team. So the spillover is a really important part of prosperity because it prevents you from living in a scenario where your time equals your income. And you can create a spillover with web-based programs, with video-based programs, with books, or with subcontractors, ideally with employees. So if you can now think of your business in 2016 as the interplay between those three moving parts, the reach, the funnel, and the spillover, you should begin to get a sense of how you can move to a sense of prosperity. And that raises a new question. What is prosperity? Who can answer that? What do we mean, prosperity? I mean, we use the word. We throw it around. We go to seminars where we talk about being prosperous. What is prosperity? If you don't know, you can't want it. And if you don't want it, then we shouldn't even talk about it. So in your mind right now, it means something.
You know, Phil, I think for me, prosperity is the ease of running your business and continuing your career without having to worry about the money worry. You know, it's not a stress. You're not worrying about money worry. You're not worrying about disruptions. You have a system, and that system works. You know, these three parts of the prosperity formula are in work. And, you know, I go to work every day, and I don't go to work because I have to make money to pay the bills and have payroll paid. I know that it's secure and it's there. I think, to me, that's prosperity because I have now the freedom to do things I want to do and be where I want to be and mentor who I want to mentor because I don't have to focus on bringing that dollar in every hour, every day, every minute because the system has been generated to bring it through.
So prosperity for you means freedom. And freedom for you comes with the condition of not having to worry about money. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Someone else, give me a definition of prosperity.
It has a level of enjoyment in life, too. You know, those components add to an enjoyment of life because I can do the recreational things. I can do the things I want to do for charity that I don't have to worry about it. I just can go do them.
Freedom and joy without having to worry about money. Good? Tasso, does that encapsulate what you said?
Pretty much.
Okay. Am I missing something? Because put it else in there. I want to get this definition. Is it missing something?
Yeah,
freedom, joy, don't worry about money.
And I can be generous. You know, I have a recreational part of my life, I have, that's the freedom part, but I have the ability to go do things for people and not worry, you know, like some people worry about, well, what am I going to get out of this? I don't want to worry about that when I do stuff for people, or I want to know that we are doing something to that we're positive to impact our community, you know.
Because that makes you feel what?
Makes me feel
fulfilled.
Significant. Makes me fulfilled, significant, you know. Contributing to my surroundings.
And Tasso, you're nailing it. And I'll tell you what's interesting. When I ask the question to groups of managers or entrepreneurs in varied fields or salespeople or sales managers, they start with the money. They usually say prosperity means you make enough money. Okay, you make a lot of money. You just make tons of money. And then I poke holes in it by asking them questions. You know, if you have money, but Is that prosperity? And they start to go, no. And then they start to think about the other concepts like joy, like fulfillment, you know, like significance. At first, they just think it means money. What's interesting is when I talk to personal trainers or chiropractors or health practitioners or doctors, it takes time to get to the money piece. And, yeah, nobody's surprised by that anymore because we know that, you know, about our field. But prosperity has to mean money. So, April, you know, if you're struggling financially, you don't deserve to be. And what you need to know is you're creating it. You're creating the financial lack. And I know that's hard to hear when you're in it because you have a money worry monster. But anybody who's been in money worry and found their way out realizes that what I'm saying is absolutely true. The dictionary definition of prosperity is a successful, flourishing, or thriving condition. In other words, it's continuing and it's growing and it's being nurtured. It's not just a moment in time. It's not just winning the lottery. Living in prosperity means you are flourishing. And then it says, especially in financial respect. So the money has to be a piece of this. But when people put the money first, I'll ask them, if your business is throwing off $150,000 a month and you're taking home a third of that as your paycheck, but you don't have any time to spend with your family and you can't find the time to work out and you're eating poorly and your kids start to forget what you look like because they never see you, you know, is that prosperity? And of course, no. So I think Tasso did a really good job of nailing what we're looking for. And if you understand prosperity to be all of those things, flourishing, thriving, feeling fulfilled, feeling joyous, and making money, enough money so that you have abundance and you can be generous. Now we're on to something. So think of a time in your life that you felt prosperous. Even if it wasn't true prosperity, where you felt prosperous. Maybe you sold a house and you suddenly looked at your bank account and you said, whoa, look at all that. And, you know, later you realized you owe all this money. But in that moment, you felt prosperous. Maybe you got a raise. Maybe after working hard to get a whole bunch of new clients, you looked at your bank account and you said, oh, wow, I've never had this much money in my bank account. And if you can find a moment like that and lock in on it, really access that memory, that becomes powerful in allowing you to identify the emotional state of prosperity. So we can use memories as triggers. And we did this a long, long, long time ago in Be Better. I taught you about triggers. And I taught you to get a trigger object. And we attached some emotions to it. And for many of you, that was really powerful. And I know some people in the original Be Better have told me you still have your trigger object today. So we can pull on things that happened to us in the past. There are certain songs that because you were inspired when you heard them will make you feel inspired. There are songs that because you were in an intimate or romantic situation, when you hear that song again, you go back there, you're transported back. There are certain smells because there was a perfume or somebody was baking apple pie, and it immediately triggers the memory because those memories, the sounds, the visions, the feelings are stored in your brain in what is called your hippocampus. So your hippocampus is like this filing cabinet. And if you can find in there the feeling of prosperity, then you want to start to connect with it. Because what you focus on is what you get. And if you're living in lack and feeling lack and focusing on lack, you're going to get lack. That's what the money worry monster does. So I want you to find a trigger for the feeling of prosperity. And at first you might go, I've never been prosperous. But you have felt prosperous. At some point in your life, you have felt prosperous. When I was a kid, we used to flip baseball cards. I don't know if you guys even know what that is, but it was, you know, you'd have your collection of baseball cards and your buddies would, and you'd flip. Like, you'd turn over your first one, your second one, and when you got some kind of match, like same team, you know, you'd get all the cards in the pile. And I remember walking away with a whole lot of baseball cards. I felt prosperous even as a kid. I felt prosperous. Look at me now. Now, was it that lasting? Did it really equate to me having freedom and joy? In that moment, I certainly felt prosperous. So if I can access those feelings, Who cares what brings them right now? I want to get myself in that state. So I want you to find a memory that gives you that feeling. But there are two kinds of memories that we can access as triggers. One, the visions, the sounds, the feelings that are stored in your hippocampus. Those allow us recollections of past events and the associated feelings. If you want to feel good, you can find a time in your hippocampus, in your filing cabinet, that you felt good. You close your eyes, you make it real, you think about what you saw, you see what you saw with your eyes closed, you hear what you heard, you feel what you feel, suddenly your whole emotion changes. So I said there are two kinds of memories. The first, the vision, sounds, and feelings that are stored in your hippocampus. They are previous experiences that are in your memory. Those are your files to pull. What could another kind of memory be? Did anybody take a shot at answering that? I said there are two
kinds. One you create through visualization.
Exactly right. So we call it a future memory, which sounds a little bit like a contradiction, but it's exactly what Tasso said. We can create memories that haven't happened yet. And when we talk about visualization, and we try to understand the power of it, you know, if you've read some of Joe Dispenza's books lately, or if you read some old books, or Joseph Murphy's The Subconscious Mind from 1950-something, really, this is not new. This is just misunderstood. But your brain has a really hard time distinguishing what is a very vivid imagination and what is real. And that's a very good thing if you use that as a power. So if you're going to, in your mind, create a future for yourself, if you're going to say, here's what I'm going to have, here's how I'm going to live, here's what I'm going to see, here's what I'm going to hear, if you can really be that vivid and really crystallize a future and you think about it, your brain starts to connect with it. So if we would think ahead to April 1st, 2017, and in your mind you draw the future. Here's what I will have April 1st, 2017. And you can get clear on what you really want and access the emotions of belief and the emotion of certainty so that you know your vision will become real. Then what happens when we really arrive at May 1st, 2017, a month later? Well, the April 1st was a memory, right? So we can do that now. We can get our hippocampus to store it just as if it were a memory, to put it in the filing cabinet. So I want you to have two memories that you can access, one past and one future. And I'm going to tell you why the past one is not enough, because you want prosperity that you haven't tasted before. So you can use that past memory to get in touch with the emotion. But you want the future memory to get in touch with the vision. What will truly make you feel prosperous? So I'm going to ask you to do that as an exercise. Select a memory from your past and create a memory from your future and get good at accessing them. And I'm not talking about spending hours a day. I'm talking about once you have them crystallized, in the morning when you get out of bed. Right before you eat dinner, spend 5 minutes really connecting with those. All of this stuff sounds so silly and absurd until you do it. You know, the concept of prayer sounds silly and absurd until you do it. The concept of affirmations sounds silly and absurd until you do it. So what I'm telling you is, this is powerful stuff. And we look for the complex stuff, and it seems too simple. This is the complex stuff. This is the complexity of your brain. Find a past memory and a future memory and marry them and access them and use them every single day. And I know if you're in a place of financial worry, your brain wants to tell you or your mind wants to tell you, don't do that. Yeah, that's ridiculous because it's not true. You're struggling right now. You don't have enough money to pay your bills. Why would you imagine that? You'd be living in a dream world. And that is called the negative talk monster, and you have to shut it up. Because it will keep you where you are. If you are struggling, it will keep you there. That's what it does. That's what the negative voice monster does. It keeps you where you are if you're in lack. So this takes a strength to be able to do it if you are not in a place of prosperity. But do it. Any comments on that? Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Phil, I find it interesting for two reasons. Number one is in doing the quantum infinity, you know, I started where every night I put the balance on, and as an energetic signature you can put in there. So one of them I started putting in was abundance, like abundance, focus, and energy were the three things I put in. And that was consistent with everything I was doing prayer-wise and that. And so I noticed that, you know, I don't get tired. I work. I go home, and I go like, oh, it's time to bed, and I'm out, right? You know, but the other aspect of it was I also changed the vision that I had. You know, talk about marrying to the emotion of what prosperity is. I don't know that I was doing that, but, you know, I always, every time I had a goal or a vision, I always had this really fancy car, really big house was part of that. And I think there's a part of me that said, shit, you don't deserve that yet. So my vision became that in my little humble little house I have in Holly Hill that's paid for, having my nice car and being able to be generous as hell and do the things I wanted to do was, and you know what? That wasn't intimidating to me because, you know, I think in the back of my mind I always would say, what the hell am I going to do with a 6-bedroom house? You know, I got one of them sitting up at Halifax Plantation right now. I wanted it. I got it, and now it's a damn white elephant in my life because it's too big for me to live in, right? So I think that really taught me a lesson. And I'm happy being in this small little 2-bedroom, 1,200-square-foot house that's mine, paid for, cleaned. And you know what? I just get up every morning happy as hell in it.
That's prosperity. It is. You want freedom. You don't want burden. You know, we think we want the big house until we have the big house, and then we realize not only does it cost a lot of money to maintain the big house, but it's a lot. There's parts of the house that you don't need. You know, you got to walk a really long way to do the laundry. Sometimes it's the vision until it gets to the reality, and you go, I don't want all this house. And I think that's an old story. You know, lots of people do that. And they get the mansion, and then they downsize and move into a condo because they enjoy their life more. So that doesn't mean if whoever you are, if your goal is a big house, it shouldn't be. But that's a part of maturity, is you really start to get clear on what you want and what will make you feel prosperous. So your definition of prosperity should attach to your definition of freedom, your definition of joy, your definition of fulfillment, nobody else's. So very good insights, Tasso. Your brain is responsive to clarity. So it's really valuable to get clear on the vision. And what interrupts that process is the thought of figuring out how. Sabotage by trying to figure out how. Because when we ask the question how, if we don't have an answer, then negative talk shows up. And it goes, no way, can't do it. Because you don't have a how. Don't worry about the how. I'm asking you to get your brain to believe, because only then will the how show up. And this is not new. You've heard it before. I'm asking you to do it. I'm asking you to live by it. I'm asking you to really invest in creating the vision. What I find is when I have sat in round tables with really high-level executives and people who really do have a lot of money, whether or not that's prosperity is up to them to decide. But when the question is asked, what is your greatest struggle, almost always the answer is balance. Why is it so hard in Be Better to design your ideal schedule at first? Because you're out of balance. You go, well, I can't do this because I have to have a client at that time. And there's no way I could really do the things I enjoy because then I'll have to earn less money. So you're out of balance. But now you're at a point that it should be easier for you. That doesn't mean you're in balance. It just means it's easier. You're better at trying to figure it out. For some of you, planning leisure time is hard. For others, planning marketing time is hard. Some of you struggle with finding time to handle admin. You hate the payroll. You hate the work you have to do. Others find that when they commit to eating right and exercising, their income seems to be affected inversely. So here's what you have to know that should give you peace. You are never going to stay in balance. That's not me cursing you. That's me sharing a fact. You are never going to stay in balance, ever. So does that mean stop pursuing it? No, of course not. Because you'll pass through it. You'll get there. You go, hey, right this moment, my personal life and my work life and my income and my leisure time and my exercise time, it's all in balance. I have time to cook my meals and I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. It's all in balance. But then something's going to change. Something's going to change. So you pass through balance. So we're never going to get to the place where it's, hey, permanently I'm there. I'm in balance. We're going to get to the point where we go, I'm in balance, and I'm now getting better at trying to achieve this condition. And you want to try to find balance at a higher level. So if you're growing your reach, your funnel, and your spillover, that's really what you're doing. You're trying to balance all three. So your reach will grow. So you reach a point that too many people are showing up, or it feels that way. You need a bigger funnel. Maybe you need to do your seminars more often. You reach a point that your seminars are packed, but your schedule is full, so then you have to work on your spillover. So if we really approach it with that simplicity, you can grow to anything you want. So the prosperity formula is the key to growing a business, and it's something that you used a long time ago. I'm asking you to return to it with a commitment. And I'm asking you to use it to get to what you believe will bring you a point of prosperity. When those negative thoughts show up, and they will, it's a monster. Those negative thoughts will show up. You can't have this. You need to stop them. You literally need to stop them. Now, remember we spoke about commanding people. You can command people. And at first I asked, can you? And you said, no, nobody wants to command. But then you do it. You go, four more reps. That's a command. Pick up the medicine ball and do this. That's a command. Tighten up your abs, right? That's what we do. We're commanding people. And do they say to you, don't boss me around? No, they do it. So we do have that ability. And in fact, people are responsive to that. When I spoke about Machiavelli's writings, I said, he said, most people are wired to follow. So when the leader commands, most people follow. If you don't believe me, go to a busy place, even in the gym. Next time you're in a gym, just yell at the top of your lungs suddenly, stop, and just watch. Everybody will stop what they're doing. Everybody. Because we're wired to obey the command. Now, they'll stop for a moment. They'll look at you, and they'll go, oh, just crazy person. And they'll go back to what they're doing. But in a moment, they obeyed the command. So realize, if you are wired to obey commands, you can command yourself. You can command your head to stop running that program. The process or the practice in NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is called thought stopping. And it's real, and it's powerful. So if you can really connect with those visions of prosperity and you can identify the negative talk monster when it shows up or the money worry monster and just say, stop, go away. I'm not letting you in right now. Brain, don't let the monster in. It really works. And you know the nervous system works hard to maintain muscular balance when we put somebody on an unstable surface for the first time. Well, it also works hard to help you maintain balance in mindset. And it also develops greater strength as you challenge it more. Optimal performance is high output, feeling effortless. In other words, when somebody is balancing on a tightrope, when you see somebody walking across two buildings, two skyscrapers, and you go, wow, that's talent. That may be talent. But what's happening is that body is working really, really hard because the stabilizers and assisters and antagonists are all firing quickly back and forth to keep that body in balance. There's a tremendous amount of work going on. But because the person is so practiced, it feels effortless. So optimal performance is high output, feeling effortless. So I want you to really think about what you want in this year ahead and stop getting caught up in negative thoughts and stop getting caught up by what happened in the past and really look at this as clean slate. Realize the power of being able to create your future memories. You understand balance as it relates to the muscular system. So transfer that idea from the muscular system to the prosperity formula, the reach, the funnel, the spillover. And you will soon realize that you cannot stop movement aimed at betterment or your business will start to atrophy. You've got to challenge it just like you have to challenge muscle, or you're going to lose. Stability is not where you want to be. Balance isn't stillness. Stability is. Stability is stillness. Things have stopped. They're moving in a sense that there's activity taking place, but it stopped growing. It stopped progressing. You became stable. And stability is a state of being where any business or any living entity begins losing ground. So business growth can only be achieved by continuing to make shifts and continuing to make adjustments with the intention of staying at your prime. For an entrepreneurial personal fitness trainer, this translates to a necessary balance between awareness and adjustment of the reach, the funnel, and the spillover. And growth, or what we call betterment, will always come from directing a heightened focus to the component that needs the most attention. So you evaluate on a regular basis, weekly, monthly, where do I need to direct more of my attention, my reach, my funnel, my spillover? Are you doing seminars now? Are you doing orientations? Are you doing workshops? Are you doing classes? If you're not, you should. You absolutely should. That's your funnel. If you think you don't need to, this doesn't come out of need. This comes out of desire. If you have a desire for a prosperity, you should have a funnel. Are you talking to five people a day? Where are you inviting them? What are you telling them to do? You got to invite them to your workshop. You have to invite them to your seminar. That's your funnel. That's when this becomes really efficient. And then when they come to your workshop, your class, your funnel, maybe they'll buy essential oils again and again and again and again if that's what you do. Maybe they'll buy your Isogenics products if that's what you do again and again and again and again. Maybe they'll sign up for personal training. Not with you necessarily, but with your staff, your spillover. And this is the way the business grows. Balance eventually becomes an intuitive process, but only when it becomes analogous to a high level of kinesthetic awareness, when you sort of automatically know where are you in terms of your reach, your funnel, your spillover. So we've spoken about two old principles, old in terms of you learned them with me long ago, but they may be more relevant today than ever. Balance and the prosperity formula. And I'm telling you, anything that you want to achieve in your business this year can have that as its course. Finding greater balance in the reach, the funnel, the spillover. Now, I'll tell you this. Anybody who will say to me, I've got all three working optimally in balance, anyone who will say that to me is feeling successful, is feeling prosperous. Anyone who's not feeling successful and prosperous is going to be able to look at their reach, funnel, and spillover and see at least one, or maybe more than one, are lacking or non-existent. Because when you get the three working, you cannot fail to grow. Right now, you may be feeling some stress. Maybe you're kind of self-examining. You know, am I doing this? No. I used to do workshops. I used to do the orientations, but I stopped. I used to do seminars every Monday night, but I stopped. Maybe you're feeling some stress because I got you thinking about money, and maybe you're not really making the money that you think you deserve. And it feels stressful. So is stress good or bad? Well, you know. The determinant is kinesthetic, an emotional interpretation of stress. So in order to grow and in order to improve our ability to balance, we have to face and respond to tension and stress. So that brings me to the third and final principle I wanted to discuss. It's not unfamiliar to you. I think it's the underlying key to every growing business finding new success, creative tension. Creative tension is the good stress. Creative tension is present in all thriving companies. It is a driving force leading to progress. It is the force that exists in the gap between where you are and where you want to be. You guys have all done some workshops with that creative tension diagram where I have the circle on the bottom, the rectangle at the top, and they're attached by a line. That line is like a bungee cord. It's the way to get from where you are to where you want to be, creative tension. Peter Senge, who wrote The Fifth Discipline, said when in his discussion of creative tension, lowering goals for a short-term sense of achievement is the beginning of a company's demise. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. Lowering goals for a short-term sense of achievement is the beginning of a company's demise. Why is that relevant? Well, let's just say that you have a personal training business and people working for you, and you set this goal of having 100 sessions a week. And your trainers are helping you to generate business. And you start to look at it and you say, every trainer was supposed to get to 20 sessions a week. That would give me 100 because I have 5. But the best one only has 6. So I don't want them to feel discouraged. There's no way they're going to hit 20 each. So here's what I'm going to say. If you hit 7, you're doing great. So I'm going to put that out there. Hey, guys, we're going to have a meeting. Listen, I rethought it. You know, we'll get to 100. But right now, I think if you guys can get to 7, if everyone here can get to 7, you guys will be doing great. That would mean now you have 35 sessions instead of 100 if everyone hit that goal. And you're fooling yourself if you think you could, at a little at a time, creep it up. Because here's what you did. You told them they were doing well. So now they think they're doing well, but you lowered the goal. How are you ever going to get them to feel that they need to do 20? And I see this all the time. I see it in the health club. When I consult with health clubs, this is what they do. They lower the goal. We're going to get 200 memberships this month. That's what they say on the first of the month. And the projection is 77. So they go, everybody get the bonus if we hit 90. So do you think the following month the salespeople are going to want to hit 200? No, they don't think it's possible. So we don't want to lower the goal, because think about it. If that rectangle and circle are attached by a bungee cord and we lower the rectangle, we bring it closer, what happens to the tension? That cord becomes lax. There is no more tension. So if you're looking at your want and it seems far away, that's good. If you're going, listen, I want to have A, B, and C, but right now I don't even have half of A. Good. Because you've got a lot of creative tension if you can access it and channel it and use it. Emotional tension is not good. Emotional tension is stress that leads to a negative drain on energy. Worry is emotional tension. Any kind of worry is emotional tension. It's playing over a negative outcome again and again and again and again. So emotional tension is a stress that leads to a negative drain on energy, and ultimately it can destroy a business or a person. And how you interpret stress and tension is in great part a conscious choice. So here's an exercise I gave in Be Better, and I think it's a time to do it again. Now, I'll tell you two, and then we'll wrap it up. But two simple exercises, simple in terms of me sharing them with you, but it takes a little bit of work, and I think it's important work. Number one, identify a source of negative tension. Identify, and actually just write down a source of negative tension. You can do it now if you want. Write down a source of negative tension in your life, not a general term, but in your life. My neighbor. The weather. My competition. The economy. A financial lack. The discouragement from the people around me. Anything. I can keep going. I want you to come up with something that is a source of negative stress in your life, and you have to be specific. You're looking to identify one thing that drains your energy. And this will sound familiar to you. After you identify one source of negative tension, emotional tension, ask the question, this is a great question, is it changeable? So you're looking at it. And sometimes you got to think a little bit. Like one of the examples I gave is the weather. You know, I was just in Pittsburgh. It was 12 degrees. I don't like that. I don't like that. I guess some people do, but not me. I mean, I don't know if that's for people. I think it's for penguins. Does it stress me? It does. It makes everything a little harder. You know, just to get from point A to point B, you got to put on a lot more clothing. You got to sit in the car and wait for the frost on the windshield to melt and the car to heat up. And it's painful. Your hands get really cold. You feel it in the bone. Your nose hairs freeze. It's not fun. If I had to live in that, I really think it would be more negative tension in my life. So you go, is it changeable? And at first you might go, no, the weather's not changeable. Well, yeah, I moved to Florida. It was changeable. So you got to start to think sometimes. Is it changeable? Now, if the answer is yes, that's it. You're done. Stop the exercise because all you have to do is change it. And again, this sounds simplistic, but we get stuck. We get stuck with stuff. And we go, this is causing me stress. This person is causing me stress. Is it changeable? No. Where do you see this person? At the restaurant I go to every day. Can you go to a different restaurant? Yeah. Okay, so it's changeable. So sometimes you just have to think. We get stuck in a stupid state. So this question becomes very powerful. Is it changeable? And more often than not, you'll be surprised the answer is yes. And then you just change it. So you're done. You have just eliminated that negative tension from your life. It's that simple. Now, what if the answer is no? Well, if the answer is no, then you have a follow-up question. And this is also a very good and very important question. What would have to change in my life for the stress to be lessened? And you'll find an answer, because this is not a yes or no. If you ask a yes or no, your brain will very quickly give you a no. It's easier. If you ask, is there anything that can change for this stress to be lessened, your brain will say no. So if we got the no from the previous question, we don't want another no. That'll shut us down. So we're not giving it a choice of no. We're asking a different question. What would have to change in my life for this stress to be lessened? And you'll get an answer. So that's the simple exercise. But once you do it with one, I want you to list 10. This is not a punishment. This is a powerful exercise because you will get rid of 10 of the stresses in your life, or at the very least, reduce them. It sounds so obvious and sounds so simple, you may tend to neglect it, but I'm telling you, it's the obvious and simple stuff we don't do. So this is a really valuable exercise, and I said, you know, we did this and be better, but this is one of the things you forgot. You don't do it on a regular basis. So do it now. The second exercise is one we've done many times, but do it now because we're in a new year. Create your creative tension. What is your now? What is your future? And if you go, oh, I've done this a million times, of course you have, because it's what keeps you growing forward. It's what prevents you from getting in a place of stability. And if things aren't good enough for you to envision your dream right now, all the more reason why you can envision your dream, because it'll create creative tension. So those are the two exercises I'm going to leave you with. I really thought carefully about this. And I believe, based on what I know about what many of you are going through, both good and not so good, good and challenging, I think this is what will best serve you. As we look toward a new year, as we look toward new outcomes, as I'm going to kind of change the course of this Platinum group, and I'm also heading toward a new creative tension in my own life. I mean, I'm really jacked and excited about what I'm about to build. Will I do it? Yeah, I will. Do I have certainty? Yes. Is it something that years ago I questioned whether it was even possible? Yep. So how do I know? I know because it's real in my brain. In my brain, it already exists. I see the event in November of next year. I see 2,000 people at this event. I see the sponsors. I see who they are. But most of all, I see doctors from every discipline sitting alongside you guys, learning. The speakers I'm going to have there are world changers. When you hear some of what will be shared related to chronic disease and cancer and drugs and outcomes, it's going to change you. So, did it happen yet? Nope. But in my head, it's a memory. It's a memory waiting to happen. So that's why I wanted to give you something today that will allow you to create your own vision, that you can create something with that same certainty, and you can make it happen in the year ahead. So I don't want to keep it going for the sake of keeping it going. I gave you what I feel is extremely valuable for you now. Now I would like you to use it. So invest some time in finding that memory that makes you feel prosperous and in creating the future memory that really connects you with the thrill of prosperity. And think carefully about the reach, the funnel, and the spillover, because I'm telling you, that's the prosperity formula right there. And if a part of you is going, I don't need a funnel. I don't need a funnel. No, you don't need a funnel. You don't need prosperity either. I'm not telling you what you need. I'm just telling you what you could have and how to get there. And then separate the creative tension, which you will fully embrace and identify, from the negative tension that has the ability to shut you down. And at that point, you're unstoppable. So it's a good way to wrap this up with the word unstoppable. So be unstoppable. Be better until we speak again. I'll talk to you on the next call. Everybody, please make it a point to call me. You can try me over the weekend, but definitely call me before the end of next week so we can talk about Platinum moving forward. Okay? Be better, everybody.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Phil.
Yeah?
Is our next call going to be a webinar, according to that, or is that not going to start till February?
That's going to start in February.
Okay.
Okay, after I speak to everybody, I will send you guys all a very specific calendar of when are the webinars and when are the phone calls. And it doesn't necessarily alternate. Some of it is, sometimes we have two webinars in a row. So I'll send you that, but I want to talk to everybody first.
All right, thank you.
Okay? All right, bye everybody.